Hi, and welcome to this month's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer Podcast, Nursing Edition. Once a month, sister publications Cure Magazine and Oncology Nursing News will come together for a podcast on topics that affect both cancer survivors and oncology nurses. Today, we'll hear from two nurses from City of Hope and a program that they use to improve the care of their geriatric patients. This is so important considering the silver tsunami, which is the tidal wave of older adults flooding the healthcare system. There's already a nursing shortage, and less than 1% of nurses are geriatric certified.
If you can just both start by providing a brief overview of your background and kind of your position within City of Hope.
Hello, my name is Carolina Oranga, and I'm an adult general clinical nurse specialist at City of Hope. Prior to becoming a nurse, I worked in banking for about 10 years, but I've been an oncology nurse for 20. My experience has mainly been in medical surgical oncology and telemetry, but I've also dabbled in case management and have been adjunct faculty at my local community college, my alma mater, PCC, Pasadena City College, in the nursing program. Each time that I return to school, I've been attuned to the importance of learning about older adults and their needs. So with my master's, I completed an adult general clinical nurse program. I really enjoy working with nurses and educating them on ways they can improve care, especially older adult care, and also help them develop professionally. I'm going to give you back to Paola.
Hello, good morning. My name is Paola Bueno. I've been in the medical field for over 16 years, six of which I've been as a nurse. My experience ranges from acute care, specializing in medical surgical orthopedics, case management, to medical billing, internal medicine, and now currently doing medical oncology in the breast department.
So, Carolina, can you provide a brief overview of the silver tsunami that you talked about at your CFS presentation and why the oncology space can expect more geriatric patients than ever before?
Oh, yes. The silver tsunami, that term has been around for some time. It really aims to describe the tidal wave of older adults that have started to flood our healthcare systems. As you may know, older adults have been turning 65, about 10,000 a day since 2011, and that's due to the baby boomers. But the last of the baby boomers, those born between 1946 through 1964, will be turning 65 in 2030. And the estimate is that 1 in 5 will be over the age of 65 by 2030. So that's a big group of people coming into the healthcare system. Age is a significant risk factor for developing cancer. Really, if you look around your adult clinics, you'll see that the majority of patients we care for are older adults. So I really say we should join them in the wave and get educated about their needs so we can be better prepared.
Great. So then how might this impact the growing nursing shortage, whether that's from an educational perspective or just, you know, from there's a lack of number of nurses, oncology nurses specifically?
Yes, the silver tsunami will impact all aspects of nursing, not just oncology nursing. And the American Association of Colleges of Nursing, the AACN, has a great fact sheet on the effect of nursing shortage will have in the U.S. According to Dr. Burhaus in his article, Four Challenges Facing the Nursing Workforce in the United States, the acceleration of nurses retiring, which is estimated to be 1 million by 2030, and this, I'm paraphrasing, will create a brain drain in the healthcare system, which will have a significant impact on patient care settings for many years to come. So suffice to say, we're not graduating enough nurses also to keep up with the estimated demand. It's really a vicious cycle because we don't have enough nursing professors to provide the education, which means we really can't graduate enough nurses. Also, very few nurses are, you know, specifically in geriatrics, are certified. It's about less than 1%. But there's some good news. We have more and more nursing schools providing gerontology content in the nursing curriculum. But we're still a long way from what is needed to provide optimal care of older adults with cancer.
So then why has this burden fallen on nurses to kind of fill in the gap of geriatric oncologists and geriatric specialists when nurses are experiencing this shortage, not just within the clinical level, but like you had just mentioned, at the educational level as well?
I think the burden's fallen on us because there's not enough geriatricians, let alone geriatric oncologists. according to the American Geriatric Society, as of 2018, there were only approximately about 7,300 certified geriatricians, which is not enough at all to keep up with the demand of how many people are coming into our healthcare system.
Paula, how has filling in this gap affected nurses at the chairside and bedside, and how has this impacted your own workflow?
Hi, this is Paula. The gap has affected nursing because providers deal with cancer treatment itself. And as nurses, we look at the holistic aspect of the individual. So instead of just treating the patient, like symptoms itself, we do an overall. So we perform assessments that help determine any age-related sensory changes that patients might have, such as auditory, visual, or mobility limitations. This has impacted our workflow in a positive way, because nurses are using validated tools which help providers make individualized care plans and treatment recommendations.
Great. So then, Carolina, can you discuss how you went about securing the R25 grant and how it has changed your own program? And then can you provide a brief overview of the program and what the research is looking for other nurses?
Sure. The R25 grant was funded by the National Institute of Health. It's called Geriatric Oncology, Educating Nurses to Improve Quality Care. And this was from great work of Dr. Arthi Hurria. She was the PI along with Peggy Burhan and Denise Economo as the co-investigators. Peggy and Denise are two CNNs that work here at City of Hope. Sadly, Dr. Hurria did pass away last year, but we're keeping her, you know, her spirit, her work alive, and continuing her great work. She saw the value in educating nurses to fill the gap discussed earlier. She saw the value of teamwork and partnering with nurses because we nurses are in the trenches. We're actually at the point of care and know what our patients need. The grant had some objectives, and that was to develop a geriatric oncology curriculum, which would be facilitated by geriatric oncology experts in their fields. We had nutrition, social work, pharmacy, medical oncologists, rehab, legal people in legal, like two medical attorneys, and of course, nursing. The program recruited nurses from across the U.S. We also had a couple of international participants that came, one from Canada and one from Australia. It did involve an application process. We recommended a team of three nurses, and that would be a nurse educator, a manager, and direct care nurse. And we also looked at smaller teams on a case-by-case basis, but we looked at the team of three because we knew that that team would be more, have a lot of the collaboration that was needed to come back to their home institutions and make some changes. And this is key. We asked nurses to develop three goals that they could take back to their home units to improve care of older adults. The goals range from making educational material more age-friendly, using bigger font, educating staff on geriatric issues, and then maybe even implementing some of the tools just in their clinics. And also maybe even start a multidisciplinary team to discuss patient care specific to older adults. The teams from each cohort are tracked at 6, 12, and 18 months so that we know what kind of goals are developing, any barriers to their goals, and also the implementation outcomes. We want to see if the goals were completed, in process, stalled, canceled, or never started. And this is some of the research that we'll be presenting about the grant itself. The last objective of the grant is to disseminate findings, and we're in the process of writing manuscripts outlining the various components of the grant, from curriculum development to the actual education and then the findings. We started, this grant was started in 2016 and had four cohorts attend, and the final cohort attended in February of this year. And we had over 400 nurses apply. Ultimately, just under 390 completed the course.
Great. So then how might you want to see this training implemented in other practices, and maybe during the course of the study and the grant itself, how did you go about implementing that training?
So, one thing that we need is more programs like this available to educate on geriatrics, especially in the oncology world. Because by default, oncology nurses are geriatric nurses, because that's who comes to our clinics and hospitals. We should consider the specialty similar to how pediatrics is a specialty. We have different stages of aging, the young old, the old old, and the old is old. And then you also have centenarians and super centenarians. Each stage has special considerations. Each stage has special considerations related to various domains. For instance, the normal age-related changes, function, cognition, polypharmacy, and social support. So we need more geriatric education for nurses. One way is to develop programs that will provide continuing education or certifications that are sponsored by national organizations. That would be one way that we could get some of this content out there. The actual grant is completed. Right now we're in the process of, you know, putting together the information that we gleaned from all the various cohorts that attended the program itself. And, you know, just having more awareness, a lot of the teams that have gone back have implemented and made changes in their facilities that will, you know, improve care of older adults. Some teams have started clinics where they see older adults in their hospitals. So just I believe the grant and all the various cohorts that I've attended created like a little ripple effect and, you know, improving care for older adults. So we hope to see more of that go on with more awareness around educating nurses in geriatric oncology.
Paula, have you participated in this program? And if you have, how has it impacted you?
No, I didn't get to participate in the R25 program.
Hi, it's Carolina. Paula did not, as she said, participate in the R25. However, she did complete the Nurses Improving Care of Health System Elders, or NICHE, program. And she is a geriatric resource nurse for her clinic. But a few of her colleagues from her particular clinic did attend the R25, and that's really created more awareness around geriatric issues in her particular clinic. The goals developed by this team as part of their participation in the program has helped to move initiatives forward and improve care of older adults in the Women's Health Center, which is where Paula works.
Hi, I just wanted to add, as Karina mentioned, I did participate in the GRN program. The reason why I did this is because I was curious and motivated to learn more about like the geriatric population. I also wanted to know how I could better make use of my assessment skills. The program provides education regarding gerontology, nursing, and how to care for the older adults with cancer. So I believe the program has impacted me in a positive way. I feel more confident providing care because I know now of tools that can be better assessed, that can be better used to assess patients' deficiencies. And also, when we acknowledge what their deficiencies are, we can provide individualized care, making me feel that I've been of greater help when caring for our older population.
So then something kind of throughout the talk, your talk at CFS and throughout some of this program is the differences between the a patient's, you know, chronological age and their functional age. So how should nurses factor in a patient's functional age, and should they make it a priority over just looking at their chronological age?
Yes, this is Paola. I believe functional age is very important. Nurses should make it a top priority in their assessments, because if we only go based off the patient's chronological age, or, you know, sometimes form biased judgment as to what they look like, sometimes we are led to believe that the patient can accomplish some duties because of what just happens with age. In the NICHE GRN program, I learned validated tools that better assist in assessing a patient's overall well-being and functionality. Tools that are currently used in clinic to assess a person's functionality are the ADLs, that's the activities of daily living, and instrumental ADLs of daily living, so IADLs. The AADLs relates to self-care activities that a patient performs daily, such as eating, dressing, bathing, transferring between the bed and chair, using the toilet, controlling their bladder and bowel functions. And the IADLs are activities that are needed to live independently. For example, can the patient perform housework? Can they prepare their own meals? Can they take their medications properly? Do they have problems managing their finances? And are they able to use the phone? Another tool that we're currently using is the timed up and go, also known as TUG, and that tests the patient's mobility. The patient is encouraged to use their regular footwear and any assistive devices such as a cane or a walker. With the stopwatch, we time the patient's length of time it takes a patient to rise from a chair, walk 3 meters, turn around, walk back, and sit on the chair. So the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, indicates anyone who's greater than 12 seconds to complete the TUG is at high risk for falls. So it's very important to acknowledge the patient's functional age over just the chronological age. If we disregard the functional age and just use chronological age, we can fall short in some of our assessments. And, you know, we wouldn't really understand what patients' deficiencies are.
What are some other geriatric assessments that nurses can use that might be useful for them, something that they can do routinely?
A geriatric tab that automatically populated into the patient's chart. So anyone who's 65 and older is assessed for the, as I mentioned, besides the ADLs, but there is a really great resource called consultgeri.org, and that particular website is coming from a lot of the evidence-based tools and information is coming from NICHE or the Hartford Institute. And all this information is, again, evidence-based. It's been vetted. There is validated tools that you can find. The Try This series is another one, which is also you can find in the consultgeri.org. And basically, you can look up symptoms that you might find your patient is having, and then it gives you information, background information, interventions, care plans that you can then go ahead and use for your patients. So ConsultGeri is a great place to go to if you want to go ahead and just get more information about geriatrics and educate yourself a little bit more.
So then, Carolina, can you maybe just discuss some of the important results from the program that other nurses should know about?
Sure. Well, first of all, I'll talk a little bit about the R25. We talked about having, we're in the process of writing manuscripts to disseminate the outcome of the grants. And I recently presented a poster at the International Society of Geriatric Oncology in Geneva, Switzerland, and that was putting into practice nurse-led geriatric assessment initiatives throughout the U.S. It really showed how nurses that participated in this program in 2016 and 2017 implemented components of a geriatric assessment into their practice. It was about approximately 30% implemented goals related to function, nutrition, polypharmacy, geriatric assessment, chemotoxicity prediction, which is really awesome to see how, you know, because a lot of times you go to a conference or a workshop and then everything kind of just stays with you. You don't really disseminate or you don't really push out what you learned. So what made the program really, I think, successful is the fact that we had nurses come in with goals, and then they went back to their institutions and tried to implement them. And as we follow them, we find that maybe some of the goals that they came in with were really lofty and maybe not really feasible to complete. And as they go along, they can go ahead and tweak those goals and make it more, relevant, smart, so that they can go ahead and complete the goals and finish that. As far as the NICHE program is concerned, I would recommend that you go to the NICHE.org website if you want to get more information about the program itself. They also have mycard.org, which is another great place that you can go to find some geriatric information. And that's a free website that you can go to.
So that's all the questions that I had. So did either of you have anything else you might want to add or a final statement that you think nurses should hear?
There are a couple of tools that are easier to use. As I mentioned earlier, we recently went live with our geriatrics tab in our electric medical record system. So all the tools are easy to use. It's just a matter of incorporating them into our daily routine or getting into the habit of the clinic flow. So upon intake or assessment of the patients, questions of the ADLs, IADLs, and PHQ depression screenings can be initiated. But what I have chosen to be the easiest for me is the PHQ depression screening. The reason I mention this is because sometimes nurses shy away from asking questions about the patient's overall mental status. Psychosocial health is very important. So I make sure that the patient is aware that they are providers here who can help you if there's resources. If you need anything that can better assist you, we have them here. Oftentimes, the patient is dealing with a new illness. It's a cancer itself, just hearing that word cancer is very scary. So patients are, you know, uneducated about how far advanced their cancer is. So when we assess the patient's mental status, they, in depression screenings, they feel a lot more at ease. They are very thankful. Some of them have cried because, you know, they say family members don't know what I'm going through. I don't even know what to expect. So at the end of the day, oftentimes we do overlook it, but, you know, if we reinforce this to the patients, let them know that we have these tools available for them, that the journey of going through the whole cancer treatment itself is not just treating the cancer itself, but we'll also treat their overall mental status as well.
Tune in next month for the next nursing edition of the Cure Talks Cancer Podcast. Check us out at onknursingnews.com and never miss a beat in the field of oncology nursing.